What does faith mean to you? What does faith mean to us in our worship? How does faith relate to our worship? To most of us in this room, faith is defined as something that we believe in, something that we have confidence in, or something that we trust in. Most of us believe in God. Most of us believe in many different things that are in our life. But the second question, how is faith involved in our worship? How does faith relate to our worship? This morning, I want to talk to you about how faith is involved in our worship. And I have 3 points to get there this morning. One, what is faith? What is the definition? Number two, what is the importance of faith? How is it important in our worship? And number three, how we can manifest our faith in that worship, or how we display it in our worship. To begin, belief is a lot different than faith. Belief is something that is defined as something that we have confidence in, something that we trust in, or something that we just maybe think is real. Pharaoh in the Old Testament believed that God was real. He knew that God was real, but he did not have faith, and that's why he did not listen to Moses. Faith, on the other hand, is totally different. Faith is defined as a firm conviction, something that we can have assurance in, something that we hold close to ourselves. If you want to turn with me to Hebrews 11, the chapter that we studied throughout this week, it talks about faith, and in verse 1, it defines faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is something a lot more in depth. Faith is something that we can have full assurance in, even though we don't have to see it. It's something that we don't have to touch to believe, something that doesn't have to be right before us to believe in or to have faith in. Faith is essential because faith is a foundation. Faith is something that is laid at the bottom of our Christianity because it's what we believe in God. It's how we start. If you want to scoot down to Hebrews 11:6, just a couple verses lower, it talks about, and faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Talking about how faith is an essential foundation, something that we need. That without this foundation, it's something that we can't build upon. Noah, Abraham, and Moses, we talked to the great men of the Old Testament. They had a foundation of faith because without a foundation of faith, they could not have done what they did. Without believing in God, without having a strong faith in God, Moses could not have parted the Red Seas. Noah would not have been able to persevere and build that ark. Or would Moses have been able to part the Red Seas? Or Abraham even offer up his son Isaac, who God gave him at a very old age. And Abraham was very, very happy for him to have a son. But Abraham said, I'm going to put my faith up to God, and I'm going to show him that I truly do have faith in him. But as we said earlier, faith is a foundation to build upon. Faith is something that it doesn't just stay there, that it's something that needs to be built upon. So that brings us to our second point, the importance of it. Why is faith so important when it comes to our worship? Well, faith is a driving factor. Faith is something that should propel us to come to worship. Why are we here this morning? Why are we in this building at 9 o'clock in the morning to worship our God? Because we have a faith that propels us to worship, a faith that says there is someone above, someone in the heavens that cares about us. So we come because of a faith that we have to worship our God. Now, if we have a strong faith in God and we want to come worship him because of the great things he's done for us, if we want to worship him, he gives us specific instructions. He gives us a way to worship him. He doesn't just say, go out and do whatever you want. He gives us a specific way to worship him. And it talks about how the communion that we do this morning, it talks about how that is one of the specific things that he wants us to do, about how singing, make melody in our heart. It talks about how the many things we do this morning is specific instructions given by God. Now, an illustration of this is, if I give a builder instructions for a house that I want to be built. If I tell him, this is the way that I want my house to be built. I want a two-story house, and I want the roof not very steep. I want a couple windows in the back, and I want a porch in the front. And he goes ahead and he sees my plans, and he goes, a porch in the front? Are you kidding me? So he puts a porch in the back. And he says, windows aren't supposed to be in the back. Windows are supposed to be in the front. So he switches everything up. That's not what I asked for. It's not something that I'm going to want to pay money for. It's not the design that I asked for. It's not what I wanted. How come it's any different when it comes to our worship with our God? He's given us specific instructions in his word. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it tells us that all the words in the Bible were inspired by God. All the words are inspired by him. Now, what would happen? What are the dangers of some of the things that if we don't worship him correctly? Back to Noah in the Old Testament. Noah, God asked Noah to build an ark 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, what do you think would have happened if Noah would have built it with maybe the wrong wood? If he would not have built it as long as God said, would he have been able to fit all the animals? Or maybe if he didn't build it 50 cubits high, would have been able to been able to persevere through the waves? Would it go under the water and sink? See, Noah had such a strong faith in God that he said, I'm going to build it to your exact expectations because I know that it's important. He knew what it says that what Jeremy just told us about in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we must walk by faith and not by sight. Going back in Leviticus 10, it talks about Nadab and Abihu. And it talks about how Aaron's sons, how when they went to go worship the Lord, how they brought censers of fire into the tabernacle. And they, maybe out of laziness, maybe out of pure just disrespect, they thought that they could substitute the fire that God had demanded. So they go in and they bring in a strange fire, as it calls it, and they offer it up to God. And as soon as they offer it up, a fire comes out and consumes both of them. Because God isn't going to accept something that he has not set in place. He's not going to accept something that he didn't ask for. Just like you wouldn't accept a house that you didn't ask the builder to build. Going back to Noah. Right after Noah left the ark, right after he had complete faith in God and God had saved him and there is dry land, he gets off. And do any of us remember what the first thing he did was? He built an altar to God. Not only telling God how important he is, but displaying it to all his family and to their wives and to everyone around him. Displaying, saying, God, my faith is in you. Showing his faith to the people around him and showing his faith to God. Which brings us to our third point. A manifestation of faith, a display of faith. Why is it? How do we manifest our faith in worship? What are our priorities? This morning, each one of us have come into this building because of a priority. Because we understand that God said on the first day of each week, come and worship me. And we understand that. It's a priority. In our singing, do you sing out? Or do you kind of just shrink back into your seat? When we pray, are you the one that keeps your head up and you look around because your faith doesn't say that it's important enough to bow your head for the few minutes that we pray to God? When we take the communion, is our minds totally focused on Jesus who gave his life for us? Do we have enough faith to say that I'll set everything aside and I'll think about you for these few minutes out of my week? It talks about in David 121:1, a passage that many of us know well. It talks about how David was glad to go into the house of the Lord. Why was he glad? Because he understood what it talks about in Hebrews 11:13, if you'd like to turn there with me. It talks about how really nothing else matters. It talks about, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And that last part is the one that I want us to get. Strangers and exiles on the earth. What does that mean to you? We sing a song in church some mornings and sometimes in evenings. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. What does that mean to you? Strangers and exiles on this earth. Nothing else matters. when we come to worship on Sunday, are you thinking about what we're going to eat after church, or how you're getting home, or what clothes you're going to wear after, or what activities you're going to do between church services? During these 2 hours of worship, nothing else should matter. We are strangers on this world, and everything is vanity. Nothing means more than what we are doing right here, glorifying God through our faith. If you want to move down to Hebrews 11, or move up, Hebrews 10, 37 through 39. And it reads, "Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." When you read that, there's two classifications, the one that shrinks back and the one that preserves his soul. Now, in our heads, we're thinking, we can think, which one are we? Are we the one that shrinks back? Are we the one that, when God tells us to worship him, do we sit back in the pews when the preacher is up here? And we don't have to use our Bible because it's a time of relaxation. We don't have to be involved. It's a time when we can just shrink back. But what does God say? "My soul has no pleasure in him." I don't know if those words are powerful to you, but they're powerful to me. They talk about how God is saying that even though you're here, it's all in vain. His soul has no pleasure in you. But we need to be of those who have faith and are able to preserve their souls. We need to keep in mind that God's the audience in this worship service today. None of us are the audience. God is the only audience. Another one of the biggest ways we can display our faith in our worship service is through an influence. And I don't know if he's going to get mad at me, but I decided to use my little brother as an illustration. I never really noticed how much of an influence I have on him until the other day he brought home a worksheet from school that said, "My brother Braden is my hero." And in the car the other day, I realized when we were driving, he puts on a song from his iPod and goes, "Braden, is this song okay?" And he's always looking for approval, for something, for knowing that I'm happy with him. And I've noticed that it's because I have such an influence on him. But in my Christian life, I have just as big as an influence on him. The way I live my life, the way I set the tone is going to be the way he lives in high school. The way that I act may not be the exact way he acts, but it's gonna be an influence on him, and I will have done my job. On a less personal level, in the senior high, how the junior high just moved up, those eighth graders are the trend is a lot different in the senior high class. They're able to see how we act, and it's a great influence on them because it's a change of what they've been doing. And the way we act during Devos, the way we act during the activities that we do, will all influence them. But even wider than that, the older Christians in this church, the not-so-older Christians, you guys have a huge impact on us. I can look out into this service today, and I can see faces that have influenced me greatly in my life. And we need to realize that the way that we display our faith, when we're in church and when we're outside of church, is the way that these younger Christians, that's what they see, and that's how they can model their life. And we need to realize that it is a huge impact on a lot of us. If you're not a Christian today, and your faith is propelling you to say, "I want to change that. I want to change the fact that I'm not a child of God. I want to be able to show my faith and show how I love him." Well, it all starts with believing. In Acts 16:31, it talks about how we need to believe. And in Acts 3:19, it talks about repentance and about how we need to change our life from the evil ways that we've been doing into a way that's faithful to God. In Romans 10:9-10, it talks about how we need to confess with our mouth the name of Jesus. And in Mark 16:16, it talks about how we need to be immersed, baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And then in Revelations 2:10, it talks about how we need to keep living faithful, about how we need the perseverance, just like Noah, just like Abraham, and just like all the Old Testament greats, Just because we hail them as something that's so unattainable, our faith can be just as great as theirs. We may not be able to part the Red Sea. We may not be able to build an ark for 100 years, but our faith can be just as great as ours, and we can display that in our worship today. If you're a Christian today and you haven't been displaying the faith that you need to be, if you haven't been manifesting the faith in the worship today, you can come now as we come together and sing.